It's a privilege to be back here with you again. See dear friends that we've come to know and love. I think this is our third year now that we've been able to come and spend some time with you. We realize that you have some great ministers in your midst, great men of God that can probably expound the Word of God much better than I can. But nevertheless, that's not our purpose of being here. Our purpose of being here is because we feel that this is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to share what we know and what we believe and what we understand, and trust that during our time with you, you'll be blessed. That's the purpose of it all. Not just to have the privilege to stand, which I do count as a privilege, but to be able to share in God's Word what thus saith the Lord and what the Lord means to each of us and how we together from God's Word might be enlightened and that we might grow in God's Word. Now, there are many times that we read the Scriptures and we don't see a lot, but we go back to it or we sit and have someone read it and expound it and we say, I never saw that before. It never meant that to me before. And this is why we're here. And this is why I love God's Word. Because the more I read it, the sweeter it is. And the sweeter He grows. And the greater desire that I have to know more about Him. And there's one thing for certain. No matter who we are, no matter how long we've been in the way, we cannot ever get enough of God's Word. And every time we read it, it's something there that encourages our heart, our lives, for every situation of life. No matter what that situation in life may be, no matter our situation in life this morning, whatever it might be, there is an answer in God's Word for it. So I pray that during our time here that we might be blessed, that God will speak through me to you by His Holy Spirit, and that we might be encouraged from His precious Word. I prepared a short study, a study that I was doing. As a matter of fact, I hadn't completed it yet. And really, to complete it properly, it would probably take about 2 months. And I only have 3 Sundays with you. So I've sat down and with the leading of the Spirit, I put together some very important thoughts. I made some photocopies, and I want to share them with you so that you can follow me as I go on. We want to be studying for the next 3 Sundays, as God permits, a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. Just before we open His Word, let's bow our heads and hearts in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, first of all, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, because without Him and His love, we would have no purpose of being here. And we pray today, our Father, that as we open your Word, that we may allow you to speak to us from it. We know that thy Word is life, thy Word is light. The Psalmist David says, it lights our pathway. It directs us. In it we can find all that we need for our directions in life, for our walk through life, for our walk toward heaven. Oh, Father, bless your Word this morning, we pray. Give wisdom. Give understanding. Not our will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if one of you brethren can share. I've made several copies. Trust. While a brother is doing that, turn with me in your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to be using this morning as our theme scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. Beginning at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love," and this is the purpose of our study particularly today, "that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." What a beautiful passage of Scripture the Apostle Paul writes there. In a passage of Scripture, we find many things there that relate to our personal relationship with God. When we talk about a personal relationship of God, the question is, where does such an idea come from, about having a personal relationship with God? You read the Bible, there is nowhere from Genesis to Revelation that the Bible refers to a personal relationship with God. It's just not there to be found, not in those exact words. But what the Bible tells us and shows to us as we study it and read it is the importance of knowing, as the Apostle Paul writes here to the Ephesian church, the importance of knowing the Lord Jesus, his love, and to trust him in a personal way. To know him, to love him, and to trust him in a personal way. And that's so important to each of us as believers this morning. There are page after page in the Scriptures that we read that suggests to us that it is who you know that counts. Now, we know that's a theory in life, too. Many things in life. It's who you know that helps you advance in life many times. It shouldn't be that way. But with God, that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be, to know him. He is the one that we really need to know. Now, as we study through this, in these thoughts that I've given you this morning, and as we go through for the next three Sundays, we're going to find that a relationship with God has the same characteristics that exist between two friends. Now, this morning we all know what a personal relationship is. We have personal relationships with our families, with our friends. Actually, the personal relationship between husband and wife is so very important. And through the years of our lives and our marriage, that relationship grows. We begin to learn each other. Actually, we begin to learn each other before we get married. But unfortunately, we don't see that happening today. But as we get married and our relationship grows, we begin to know each other. We begin to almost sound like each other. Matter of fact, I've heard people say, "You look like each other. You've been married so long." So there is that relationship that we can talk about, that we know, personal things that we know, things that we share with each other that are so important. In life, we have friends that are very dear to us. But we also have special friends, a friend that we have chosen in life, and perhaps all of us have one, or we've had one, time and other circumstances separate us from us many times. But we have a personal friend, and in that friend we confide with them, as we see here. These characteristics that exist between friends. Number one is a mutual recognition. We know each other. And not just know each other, we really know each other. Number two, we have a mutual openness. We can approach each other. We know that friend, and in any situation in life, we can go to that friend. And we can talk to that friend. We can share with that friend. We know that we can confide in that friend. We know that that friend will always be there, no matter what. Now granted, we're all human beings. And there are occasions and situations in life when that friend will leave us, or when there will be problems that will come between us. But nevertheless, this is to give us an idea of what a relationship, a personal relationship with God is all about. We see that we have mutual interest. Mutual interest. We want to do what our friend likes to do, or our friend wants to do what we like to do, and whatever it might be in life. Because there is that closeness and they want to feel that part. So we share with each other. Then there is a mutual respect. We honor each other. We would not want to do anything to hurt that relationship. Sometimes we will bend over backwards in order to work situations out that may arise in that relationship. These are the type of relationships that we can also have, or that we really should have, with our God. Such a relationship as this means more than knowing of or about someone. I've had, and I'm sure that you all have, we've had relationships in life with people, and we've known people, but we have not had that close relationship, such as saying, and they give an example in this manual that I'm looking at here this morning, that we might say we know the governor of New York. But if the governor of New York can't pick us out in that crowd and know us personally and say, that's my friend, or the governor of New York has never shared our intimate thoughts, then he really isn't our personal friend. We just know him. But the idea is to know him in such a way, that friend, that they know all about us. Everything about us. And we share with them all of the hidden secrets and thoughts of our lives. And this, beloved, is what we want to think about today. Of knowing God. Not just to say that we know him. It's simple. Very simple in our lives to say, I know him. Yes, I gave my life to him. But that's not good enough. That's not what God wants. God wants you and I to be on a level of relationship with him, even better than our closest friend, even better than our husband or our wives. Is it possible? Absolutely. Absolutely. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we just have to determine within our hearts and our lives that we want a close personal relationship with God. We have to determine ourselves that he is my Lord. I love him. He loves me. I share with him every need of my life. And beloved, if ever there was a time in our lives that we need to have a close relationship, is this day in which we live. There are so many things that are happening. I'm sure that each of you this morning, you have a story that you can tell me. I can tell you many stories of areas in my life where I thank God for that relationship that I had with Him, where I could come to Him when all else seemed to fail and know without a doubt that I had a relationship with Him, that I could talk to Him and know that He is there. That He's always there. But you know, we just can't say we know Him and have that assurance in our lives. We have to work on this personal relationship with Him. If our friendship with God is real, we will welcome Him into our lives. If we love Him as we say we do, if we thank Him for saving our souls from a lost eternity, then we're going to want Him in our lives. We're going to want to know more about Him. We're going to want to be more like Him. Our actions will show that we believe He is the kind of person we want in our homes, in our plans for life, in our laughter, and in our tears. You see, as these things come upon us in life, the way that we react to them indicates to those around us the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want Him. If we love Him, we want Him in our homes. We want Him in our plans for life. Unfortunately today, there are so many people that have excluded Him out of their lives, out of their homes, out of the plans of their lives. But that's not our idea this morning. Our idea is to have a close personal relationship with God. There are six areas that I want to share with you as time permits. And believe me, it gallops when you're trying to do something in a short period of time. But that's a purpose that I type these things out, and I'm just a two-finger typist, so if you see any mistakes here, just forgive me. But I've typed these out because I know there's absolutely no way in 30 minutes that I can go through this. But for you to take home, and perhaps as you have some time to sit down, and read some of these scriptures and look at them. There's six areas that I want to share with you over the next three Sundays, God willing, that are essential to the believer for a closer walk with the Lord and a deep personal relationship with God. Six areas. We're going to use two this morning. The first one I have listed there for you is there is a spiritual relationship. A spiritual relationship. We have to have a spiritual relationship. We cannot know God any other way. We have to have a spiritual relationship with God. And to experience this, we do not have to experience what I have listed here, and we're going to look at the reasons why, as many biblical characters have done. In the Old Testament, there were many of the biblical characters that experienced a personal relationship with God. Adam and Eve, God came down personally in the middle of the day and talked with them. For Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of these great men of God experienced these angels of God that would come, but we know that they were God in the person of His Son who came as an angel and talked personally face to face with these great men of God. You and I have not had that experience. Perhaps we will never have that experience in life. But because we do not have that experience in life, it does not mean that we cannot have a close personal relationship with God as they had. Because He is God. He is always there. He has never changed. Things have changed down through the years. But the relationship with God is always there, and we can build up on it. Number one, we do not have to see Him visibly to have a relationship. He reveals Himself to us through the eyes of our understanding. Through the eyes of our understanding. In 1 John 7:17, the scripture says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or I speak of myself. You see, there must be an attitude of God, of love for the Word of God in our hearts and lives. That's the way that we know God. Coming to church is great. Fellowshipping is great. But in order to know God as we ought to know Him, we have to get into the Word of God. We have good books. I've got shelves of books at home. Religious books. Perhaps many of you have. And we can read those books. They give us great understanding. But I want to say something this morning, beloved. And it is something that all of us, and I stand there this morning and say that it is a neglect in my life as well. And although I spend many hours in the Word of God, we do not get into the Word of God enough. We just don't. We just don't seem to find that time, that room, and the busy schedule of our lives to get into God's Word. And beloved, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And beloved, when we take this book in our hands, yes, it's written by men. And perhaps there are some things that we don't understand, perhaps even agree with, because we don't understand them. But when we take the Scriptures in our hands, that is God. It's powerful. It's a living Word. And the more we read it, and the more we understand it, the closer our relationships will grow with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to get into the Word. We have to be willing to get into the Word. Now, God isn't going to take us each day of our lives and say, come, it's time to get into the Word. No. Within our hearts, there must be a desire to know more about God, to read His Word, and to believe that the more that we know, the better our lives will be. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe that the more that we get into God's Word, the more that we understand God, the better our lives will be. The greater that we can conform to Him and to the knowledge of Him, the more that we know the Word, we can put our faith and our trust in Him and believe that if He says in His Word that this is going to happen, it will happen. But we have to have that faith. We have to get into His Word. Secondly, we do not have to hear Him audibly. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through nature. He's always talking to us. God is always talking to us. You said, well, I didn't hear Him today. I didn't hear Him this week. I didn't hear Him last week, beloved. He's talking to us all day long. And through all sorts of situations and circumstances that may arise in our life, God is there. For the believer, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts and lives. The Holy Spirit represents Almighty God. And for every situation in our life, no matter what it is, He's there. And He's talking to us. The problem is, we're not sure we want to hear what He says many times. We're not sure we want to hear what He says because we have our ears attuned to what we want to hear many times. But oh, would to God that all of us as believers would tune our ears and our hearts towards heaven to seek that great relationship, that personal relationship that we can have. Thirdly, to be close to God is not a matter of location. A lot of people are of the opinion that the only way that we can really, really get close to God is to come to church. To come and sing and listen at His Word. That's not so. What happens if you feel that way is when we come into church, it limits our time with God. It limits God's time with us. And that's not what God wants. God wants to be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our lives, no matter where we are. James 4:8. James writing says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Notice, he didn't say, go find a church. He didn't say, go find a hilltop to sit upon. That'll get you closer. He didn't say, get an airplane, fly 30,000 feet. That'll get you a little closer to God. No. It's the desires of our hearts that draws us to God. It's the desires of our hearts that puts us in the presence of God, that seeks His presence, that seeks His comfort and His peace in our hearts and life. The psalmist David writes in Psalms 139, and I've listed this for you. If you care, if you look through it, I pray that you do, because it a great help. He writes in Psalms 139, he says, nearness to God is not a matter of location, but rather a place in my life, in your life, in the believer's life for Him. Being near to God is making room in our lives for Him. Fourthly, to know God, the Apostle Paul writes, is not a matter of knowing all about Him. In Romans 11, 33 and 34, he writes, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Then he says, how unsearchable. How unsearchable. Well, who can explain? You know, I said in my opening remarks, you've had some great men of God here that have probably explained the Word of God explicitly. But you know something? No matter how great these men of God are, no matter how much we explain, we can never, ever explain to its fullest extent the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. Never. It is unexplainable. Oftentimes, I personally ask myself as I sit and prepare messages or lessons, God, you know, why do you love me so much? Why do you love a world such as this? Why were you willing to give your son to die? Why did he suffer such awesome and awful things of life? We just don't understand. We can't explain it. It's unexplainable. The riches of God, the wisdom of God, and the knowledge of God. Paul says, His judgments and His ways are past finding out. They're past finding out. Now, that doesn't mean to say that because they're past finding out, we're supposed to be satisfied where we are. But what it says is, keep on searching. Keep on searching. The more that we search, the better we get. The closer we get to the Lord, the more fulfilled our Christian life and Christian service will be. And the more that we feel closer to heaven and to home. Secondly, time leaving me, there is also not only a spiritual relationship that must exist, but there is a Christ-centered relationship. A Christ-centered relationship. Who is the mediator? The mediator is Jesus Christ between God and man. God is here, we are here, and in between is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. You see, God is like a parent who watches his son or daughter become hopelessly entangled with the law. And as much as that parent wants to put his or her arms around that child and take it home, they can't. The law must be satisfied. The debt must be paid. Justice must be carried out. And that was the situation with all of us at one time or the other in our lives. We were away from God. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who died. He became the mediator for us. He gave His life. He came between God and man. He gave His life. He died. And it is because of this that you and I today can have a relationship with Almighty God. And oh, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful as we stop and we think of God, this awesome God, the God that created the universe, the God that gives us everything that we have in life. He loved us so much, He was willing to give us His Son and open that way, that we could come directly into His presence. You know, we're blessed today even more than the children of Israel were in their day. The children of Israel in their day would have to go through a mediator. Whatever they did, they would have to go through a priest. That priest would then in turn have to go to God. And that priest had to be careful as well. Each time he went in, they would tie a rope around his leg. Because if he went into the presence of God and there was anything in his life, God would strike him dead there. But that priest was used as a mediator for the sins of the world, for the sins of the Jews. Today, praise God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. He has already paid the debt. He paid the price that none of us could pay. None of us this morning are worthy to enter into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Oh, so often we forget the awesomeness of this God. So often we take it so casually in our lives and in our service. But oh, He is an awesome God. He holds our lives in His hand. He holds everything that we value so dear in His hands. And beloved, what a privilege it is. And I trust that each of us this morning, we take it as a deep privilege in our lives. When we can come into the presence of God. When we can bow and we can say, Our Father. Knowing that Jesus Christ has mediated and paid the price and the debt. And we have the opportunity to come into the presence of a living God. And to know within our hearts that He is our Father. To know within our hearts that even if we stray, He loves us just the same. To know that He cares about us. I mean, the psalmist David writes, What is man that thou art mindful of him? And perhaps we need to question this ourselves many times. Who am I that God should love me so much? That God is willing to do so much for me to allow me the privilege to come into His presence, unhindered in the presence of a living God. Oh, beloved, when we come into the presence of God, we don't realize, none of us ever realize where we are and the importance of being there and who we're talking to. But I trust that we do. And it all develops as we develop the personal relationship with our Father. He paid the debt. Justice was carried out. He is the center of our lives. Christianity is Christ and Him alone. Christ and Him alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and it will take too long to read it all, but I made some notes there. Paul uses these verses to speak of a relationship with God based on, number one, the Christ whom we serve. We see that in the second verse. It also is based on the Christ who is our Lord. We don't just serve Him, but He is our Lord. He is Lord of lords, Lord of our lives, Lord over everything in our lives. Thirdly, He gives us grace and peace. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Peace, God's calm repose that lives in our heart. How many times have we not been in situations of life where it just seemed that the billows was about to roll over us? Where it just seemed that the road was so rough we couldn't walk through? We've come to God because of a relationship that we have with Him. And we've committed this, whatever the situation is, to God. And we feel that calm repose in our lives. Oh, I know, if most of us here this morning have probably been in these situations in our life, where it's been difficult, but we were able to come to God through our mediator, Jesus Christ, and commit to Him, whatever it was, and feel that deep, settled peace, that peace that passes all understanding. That peace that fills our hearts and lives. And beloved, it's not a peace that I can give you. It's not a peace that we can give each other. but it is a peace that comes from God through knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The hymn writer says, there's a deep, settled peace in my soul. Though the billows of sin o'er me roll, He abides. Christ abides. My wife and I visited Gaylene. Most of you know her. This past week, we hadn't seen her for a long time because we'd been away from home for several weeks. And we were sitting talking with her about the situation with Brother Marvin, who passed on. And she said to us as we sat there, she said, I go through these difficult times in my life. Last week was his birthday, was Father's Day. She said it was tremendously rough for me. She said, but I came to God. And I just talked with him. And she said, I felt that peace in my life. And that peace took care of that situation. It was different. She said, as I sat in the service the day that we had that funeral, she said, there was a peace that came into my heart that I can't explain. Beloved, let me explain it as best as I can this morning. That peace comes from having a relationship with God. Not because of who we are. Not because of what we have done or what we are capable of doing. But we have that mediator, Christ Jesus. And we can come into the presence of God and know the peace of God through knowing Him as our personal Lord and Savior. He will keep us to the end. The Scripture says, He is the God that has joined us. Thirdly, we see here Paul's obsession. Paul's obsession was not with the system, but rather with the one that he had come to know. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, he writes, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In Galatians 2:20, he writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, he says, I died to self. But yet I live. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he finishes off in Philippians 1:21. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Beloved, the Apostle Paul had a personal relationship with God. He had a personal relationship with God. Then we see that we must also realize that our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is always there. In Colossians 1:16, we can look back and see He was there. It says, for by Him are all things created in heaven and earth, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. We have to look ahead. He is our judge, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Then we have to look up. He is our Savior and our Lord. We have to look down. He is our sustainer. It says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Then we look to the right, He is our teacher. We look to the left, He is our advocate. Then, after looking at all of these areas, we have to look within. We have to look within. Beloved, looking at each other is fine. But we have to look within our own lives. Because each of us are accountable to God for the lives that we live. I cannot enjoy as close as I am to my wife. and all of the years that we've been together, I cannot live a personal relationship with God for her. Neither can she for me. Neither can any of you for each other. We have to live that personal relationship with God for our own selves, our own lives, by the lives that we live, the desires that we have to know more about Him. He is our life. Galatians 2:20 says, again, and I repeat, as the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Beloved, I pray this morning as I close that that is the desire of our hearts. There's no question that a personal relationship with God must be a Christ-centered relationship in our lives, because it is Christ and Christ alone who can bring us to God, who can cleanse us from the pollution of this world, who is our ever-present source of life, of health. He is the living Word. He reveals to us, He defines to us, He expresses to us the personality of the Father. And getting back, as I close, to the scripture that I began with, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I trust that that's our desire this morning. I trust God's Word has encouraged our hearts today. Next week, if the Lord be not come, we want to look at a submissive relationship as well as a mutually felt relationship. May God bless His words to our hearts today for His name's sake. Amen. Father, oh, we thank You this morning for Your living Word. I pray, O God, that today You've spoken to us from Your Word, that our hearts have been challenged today to desire a closer walk with Thee, a deeper personal relationship. And we know that it's there. We know that's available. May we have that desire in our hearts to know more about You, I pray. Bless us now, Father, as we close this part of our service this morning. And we'll be careful to praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray.